Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think I've ever heard in church before. Morning, everyone. Great to have you with us. Oh, thank you. That was, I appreciate that, buddy. That one. Morning, everyone. Great to have you with us. Turn to the person next to you and tell them how much of a horrendous week you've had and what a struggle it is to even be sat next to you. Anyone else heard anything like that? Or how about, thanks, Dave, for telling us how you've lost your job. And you're not sure how you're going to feed your family? Let's worship. One, two, three, four.
Oh, happy day. Happy. No? I know they're really like kind of rubbish examples and pretty crude examples. But for the reality, you know, for many of us, that's the reality as we gather week in, week out. There's struggles. There's questions. And I really want to thank Gareth and Lizzie for putting on this series, How to Handle and How to Deal with Brokenness. It's not like the sexiest of titles, is it? It's not like the 7 effective ways to build your ministry and your life. Like, it's how to deal with brokenness. And I'm so grateful that you guys have come to be part of this tonight. Because the thing is, as Christians, I became a Christian in 2001, and I discovered that Christians love things like waterfalls. We love pictures of waterfalls and, you know, the kind of well-watered trees and the butterflies and the birds in the sky, and everything's all beautiful. But we don't deal really well with wastelands, with barrenness, with brokenness. And so what we're going to do tonight is we're going to engage with some of that stuff. We're going to, like, we've had some of those waterfalls, right? What beautiful moments. In fact, I feel bad kind of like going, that was a beautiful time. Now let's deal with your brokenness. Yeah. Change the preacher. But actually, it's the perfect place, actually, when you sort of get perspective of who God is and you experience his presence in those kind of ways. Actually, we have a great reality over our lives and over our brokenness. And actually what it means, we're singing about a God who, in Jesus Christ, came to meet us in himself. And himself was broken on a cross so that we can have life and we can know fullness and we can know what it means to journey with someone who's not just out there going, oh, sorry you're having a bad time down there, guys. Crack on. It's like Jesus is the one who walks with us by his Spirit. And I want to say this as well, and I've been to many different churches and stuff, and sometimes churches like portrayed as Disneyland. It's like the only the place where dreams can happen. You know, you get fantastic, there's 15 flavors of like ice cream, and there's wonderful, although we did have wonderful biscuits at the back, and I want to commend whoever it was who did them in the flower shape. That touched my heart. That was a beautiful thing. But church isn't Disneyland, the place where only dreams come true, or the place to somehow escape. Like, even those moments that we have there, it's not a place to escape and somehow forget all our troubles. It's a place to be sharpened. It's a place where we bring our reality and then start to see God's reality, and that's when we start to see change. And I want to say again that I often hear that phrase of, oh, I was lost in worship, lost in that. Hang on, like, you were lost, you were found. You were found. God saw you and says, I see you and I love you. And you are found in me. You're not lost in some kind of like, I don't know, weird experience, as it were. And we're found that here as well, as tonight we're going to take communion, the table of grace, where ultimately we get a taste of hope that's to come and a hope that will not disappoint. A place of no more pain, a place of no more suffering, no more brokenness. Thankfully, no more sermons from me on how to deal with brokenness, because in heaven we're going to be healed, we're going to have fullness and wholeness. And that's why we pray for heaven to come to earth, so we get some of those glimpses in the now. And I love it when we get those glimpses in the now. It's important that we celebrate them. But as a church, if we don't deal with brokenness, we're not going to be able to deal out hope when it comes to the everyday sort of life, in our spheres of influence, in our families, in our unis, in our homes, in our job centers, wherever it is. And so I want us tonight to be bold enough to dare to stare at some of our brokenness. Like, great, I've missed the match for this. I've kind of come here, had a lovely time, and now you're asking me to stare at brokenness. What a Sunday night. Let's celebrate. But ultimately, I believe one of the reasons that people giving up following Jesus, or they turn to the charts, or they turn to the world for a language to try and find out what's going on, is because we're not vocal enough in the church of how to deal with it with ourselves. And we're not vocal enough in expressing that and helping people journey through that. So, guys, if any of you are here broken tonight, welcome. It is so great to have you with us, because I'm broken too. And I love that I've got broken family sat next to me and with me, and that I'm not alone just in that. I remember one of my mates, I'm on a pain management course, I'll speak a little bit. I suffer with chronic pain, which is just basically daily pain. I've had it for 2 years now. You have good days, bad days, some days complete write-offs. And he used to say to me, I said, come to church. He was like, no, if I set foot in church, I'll burn. I was like, mate, the heating's not that good in here, I'll tell you that. But he had this idea that genuinely he was going to, like, burn. Like, God was going to, I was like, mate, why? Because of all the stuff I've done wrong. That's why we do church. That's why we gather, because we know it's not our morality. It's not our goodness. It's not that we help grannies across the road or didn't say a swear word this week. It's only because of Jesus that we can gather together and start to learn what it means to live in holiness, what it means to live in defiance, what it means to live a life of purpose, even in the midst of brokenness. And I want to call you tonight. Maybe you've been a Christian for a while, and I love that prophetic word about sort of stepping out into the thing, because, you know, the reality is in the church today, sometimes it's too easy. It's too easy to pick up a coffee cup and not a cross. And we're called to pick up a cross. It's not easy. I knew someone who gave up faith in Christianity because it wasn't challenging enough. I'm like, what? How is this not challenging? Saying no to all the incredible things of the world that flash at you and say, have this and buy this and you can have this whenever you want and da 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 da. How is that not, you know, how is that not hard to say no to? Like, what? To say no, to deny yourself and to follow a cross? I'm like, we're selling the wrong kind of gospel. And if you've been sold that gospel, I'm so sorry on behalf of Jesus, if I'm allowed to be. Lord, I'll check out that one. Terms and conditions apply. But I'm sorry on behalf of that church or whatever, because actually it's not an easy path. And that's the prophetic word that you had, Luke, as well. Like, it's not an easy path, the narrow one, but it's the one that ultimately leads to life. And if you were to ask me, so my name's Sabes, is like Chris Sabern, so Sabes is my nickname. You're like, Sabes, what's your most fruitful and successful ministry? I'd love to say to you that it was once when and this is a true story, I threw a vicar in a biffa bin at college because he did my head in. It was proper doing my tree. So what we'd have, like, band practices, and we were doing our Limp Bizkit tribute act and stuff, and then he would kick us out to do choir, and I was like, right, you're going to get it. And I literally threw him in a bin. So I quite like to think that that was quite a successful aspect to my ministry. Yeah. Maybe because I've sung songs on CDs and I've written songs that have been, like, sang over the world. Maybe that's my successful thing of ministry. No, my royalty checks will show you that. My wife will tell you that. When it's Aldi again, yep, Aldi again, love, sorry. I'll write one of those songs one day where we can go at Sainsbury's or something, but for now. We love Aldi. Anyone else Aldi fans in here? Yeah. There are other supermarkets available, just for if you're listening. Lidl. Imagine that sponsorship deal. Anyway, where was I? The reality is, it's not been any of those things. It's been my wife and I sharing our brokenness. I'm like, Lord, why do I have to be that guy? Why can't I be the successful leader who's the big giant person who's gone around the world doing amazing things? No, I'm the broken guy. I'm the guy who's had a really hard childhood and upbringing where, let's call it a dysfunctional family, where it wasn't the healthiest environment to sort of live. I'm the guy who's struggled with anxiety and depression and still today can have those kind of battles within me and have to really fight them and be aware of them and have other people, sort of seeing my blind spots, as it were, and calling it out of me. I'm the guy who, in our first year of marriage, my wife nearly called it off just because of my brokenness was affecting just the way that we did life together, and I couldn't handle it, and I was so angry that I would just punch stuff and I would just rip stuff up, and my wife was scared and I had to go and do anger management and all sorts of stuff. I'm the guy who's suffered with pain for a long time, had surgery and now in chronic pain and now under the Disability Act. So I was laughing, I think it was Johnny, it's like, yeah, I've not preached for 2 years, and I was like, yep, now I'm disabled, they'll let me preach now. That's the, yeah, I know my role, that's it. Under the Equality Act, I get it. But the reality is, it's pretty horrendous in terms of the pain that I am going through, and even now I'm in pain. But I'm so thankful for the NHS. Like in terms of Salford Royal, I've done a 6-month pain management course there, that basically say it's not going to get better because your pain is basically you have a pain gate at the bottom of your spine. It's constantly, mine's saying danger, 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 danger when there's not. And so they can pump you full of drugs, doesn't do anything. So it's all about mindset. So I'm doing counseling. It's about movements, so doing your stretches and trying to look after yourself. And then the meds are the kind of the last thing. And the meds are not a place to escape, but they're a place to actually engage and start to do your stretches and things like that. And I'm really thankful for Gareth and the team. The staff team have been amazing. I've let the team down. In fact, I've not let the team down. My health and the chronic pain thing that one day will not be with me has been letting people down, and that's been really kind of tough to deal with as well. And I thought that I was going to church plan. I thought we were going to do loads of different things. We spent the last 7 years kind of doing training and all sorts of things. I've become a vicar and all that sort of thing, and thought we were going to, and now we're like, Lord, where are we? What do we do? But we don't like telling those kind of stories, because sometimes you might think, oh, are we allowed to share those things? Are we allowed to share those things? But tonight, if you've got questions, if you've got doubts, if you've got aspects of brokenness, welcome to the family. Great to have you with us. And it's made me think about testimony. Testimony is powerful. It's so important. I love hearing those testimonies of Hong Kong. I love that you put people in pajamas, which it just makes me laugh. I don't know why. I just don't wear pajamas. There you go. There's a fact for the day for you. That was probably overshare, wasn't it? If you do pray for me, we will wear pyjamas. But I love that idea of hearing testimony of, all right, leave me alone. Trying here, all right. I love that idea of just people committing to pray. Not just doing the kind of the one-off, like, Lord bless you. Have a great week. Or I pray that thing gets sorted. But that commitment and dedication to be able to step into that and to hear testimonies of real lives being changed today is phenomenal. Of hearing people come off addiction, from drugs, alcohol abuse, all those kind of things, to see people get clean without having to go through the 12-step program. And the 12-step program is phenomenal, by the way, as well. And God can use that and does use things other ways. But I've seen people healed like that. I've experienced healing like that. As I was leading worship at New Wine, even this summer, which is like a place we gather together and churches together and a big family, someone said to me, are you aware of how many backs were healed? And fibromyalgia, which I think I've got as well, was healed when you were leading worship. I was like, actually, yeah. I didn't quite realize it. And they were like, are you okay with that? And part of me was like, I was. Should I not be? Like, no, I'm not. But actually, I remember Gary Best saying, the guy we had over, he was saying, actually, when one of us is stronger, we're all stronger. And one of us is healed. There's a greater effect that it has on all of us. So we rejoice in each other's victories, but also stand with each other in suffering. So the testimony is usually that, though, isn't it, that you hear from the front in the wider church. This was my situation. I got prayer. God intervened. I'm now okay. Here's my book. Buy it on the bookshelf on the way out. We don't often talk about the next sort of testimony that I want to be kind of diving into, and we're going to get into God's word together, and it's the testimony of faithfulness. Where actually, here's a situation. I've been prayed for more times than you can imagine. Nothing seems to be changing and shifting, but people still say yes to follow Jesus, yes to his kingdom. Every day saying, yes, God, I trust you. Who you are, I go again. That's the kind of testimony I want celebrated as well in the wider church, not just the miraculous faith, but the miraculous faithfulness. And if that's you, if you've been going through a tough time, it's been hard to follow Jesus, I want to say thank you and well done, because it's one day that we're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. It's not going to be well done, good and successful church planter or business owner or songwriter or whatever it is. It's going to be well done, good and faithful servant. Well done for running the race. When it was against the odds, when everyone else was saying it's nonsense and how can you believe in this and look, even God can't even heal you or doesn't care about it. When you still said yes to Jesus and walking in his way, well done, thank you. You are a model to us all. And I really want to celebrate that tonight. So, and if there's only one thing that you get out tonight, let it be this. The wasteland may be your current location, but it's not your final destination. Just let that sink in a second. Let me do the preacher thing. I'll say it again, but a bit slower. The wasteland may not be your current location. It may be your current location, but it's not. I can't even do the preacher thing well. Slowly and correctly. They didn't tell me that bit. But the wasteland may be your current location, maybe my current location right now. It doesn't, you know, it feels pretty naffed a bit at times to be where I stand, I'm not going to lie. But it's not my final destination. There's always hope, and it's a hope that does not disappoint. And that's the difference in Jesus Christ. It's not a kind of cross my fingers, hope one day that I'll be okay. I know that one day I'm going to find healing. I know that whether it's this side of heaven, the other side of heaven, I know I'm going to know complete and utter freedom, and that gives me hope. So those of you who are sat in brokenness, that's your student digs, okay? That's the place where you go, oh man, it stinks here. Put an IKEA candle on there, put a few posters up, whatever. It's not your permanent residence. It's just your temporary location. But actually, your final destination is going to be fullness, wholeness, and healing. Until that day, we keep going. So we're going to open the Word of God together. So if you've got a Bible, please turn to Psalm 13, and I'm going to pray for us as we do that. And then we're going to journey through four quick things of what it means, how to deal with brokenness today. So, Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for each other. Thank you for your presence. And, Jesus, we thank you that you are the name that genuinely is above all names, that at your name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, every chain will be broken. We thank you for that. We thank you for the times we've seen that. God, we thank you for the times we will see that. And Lord, we just praise you. And Holy Spirit, would you open up your word to us now? God, would it be life to us? Thank you for that series we had of engaging with your word, Lord. I just pray that as we meditate and contemplate, do all those things, God, it would really shape our lives and not just be another ticker Sunday off. But God, would this shape us as we start to live out from tomorrow onwards? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so Psalm 13, which is page 548 in the church Bibles, if you need that. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer me, Lord of God. Give light to my eyes or I shall sleep in death. And the enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Amen. Now, just so you get this is a posh word, ladies and gentlemen, that I learned from Hazel. The wider literary context of the Psalms. There's 150 Psalms known as the Psalter, which is split up into five books. And the general sort of trajectory is from lament, which is about like deep despair and anguish and pain and suffering, to praise. And it doesn't just kind of go all the way through as smooth. You'll see there's bumps because life's like that. There's ups and downs. It's not just like this lovely little flow journey of I was once in darkness and now I'm in light. And it's like that wrestle, right? And it's really interesting. In the next slide as well, there's a guy called Walter Brueggemann. And he put those 150 Psalms into three categories. There's many people who have done it in loads and loads of categories, but I love that this is just three. I can deal with three. And the three are this: Psalms of orientation, which means Psalms of order. So when things are great, when life is great, when you do have waterfalls and the same randomly butterflies on your shoulder, I don't know what that means, but maybe that's a word for someone. But I don't think it is. Psalms of orientation, order. Psalms of disorientation, disorder. When there's brokenness, when there's mess, when it's kind of like, God, where are you? Or God, I thought this, or why is this happening? Why are my foes triumphing over me? God, I'm trying to follow you. Why is everyone else being successful in the world who isn't? Those kind of psalms. And the final psalms are psalms of new orientation, where it's kind of like, all right, I start to get a glimpse of where you're at work here, God, and I feel like there's hope again. So that sort of makes sense. And the interesting thing is that out of all of those categories, by far, the greatest number of psalms are psalms of disorientation. They're the psalms of brokenness. Yet does our church, in terms of the wider church, reflect that? We've said it's not Disneyland. It's not the place just where only dreams can happen, yet sometimes we kind of make it a little bit like that. And again, on the next quote on here, he says, it's a curious fact that the church has, by and large, continued to sing songs or share testimony, or however you want to put that, of orientation in a world increasingly experiences disorientated. We are in a disorientated world. We're in a world that's in need of hope. We're in a world that is broken and looking to everything to try and be the answer, to be the thing. And that's why there's so much that overpromises and underdelivers. And yet Jesus is the answer. But in order to be able to really deal in hope, we need to sit in brokenness first and understand what that really means. And so the first thing that we're going to learn together from this psalm is this: be direct. Be direct. You see, he says, how long, Lord? Do you know, it's not like, dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your manifold greatness and wonderful. And if it's not too much inconvenience, please could we have a little chat tonight around supper, around the table while we have cheese? It's like, how long, Lord? When you call 999, it's not, before I tell you of just why I've got an emergency, please may I ask of whom I'm speaking to, and how's your day been? It's flip, help. Send the fire brigade. My wife's been cooking it. No, I was joking. My wife is a phenomenal cook. Go and be direct. And it's interesting that, I've journeyed, I've sort of in terms of helping people through stuff with brokenness and engaging with that, many people. And one of the things that I say to them is that, have you gone to God first? And they're like, no. Because that's how everyone talks when they speak to me like that. And I'm like, well, why would you come to me? What am I going to do? Like, I can try and sing you a song. We can pray together. But go direct. Go to God. Be direct. Go direct. And I love that the Psalms model that for us. It's not impolite. It's not like rude. It's not dishonoring God. Actually, it gives us permission. The Psalms give us a language of permission to go, God, where the heck are you? It doesn't have to be this polite, nice, let me say the right things first. And if I get the right formula, then I can have access to God. He hears you just as you are. And he wants to hear you just as you are. Just going to change that on there. You know, when I ask people, why do you not go to God first? Why do you come to me? I've had two answers that's been the main overarching thing. One is that they thought it was a lack of faith. It was a lack of faith saying, actually, do you know what? I'm not trusting God for who he is if I say that there's brokenness and mess in my life because I know that in Jesus Christ I have victory. Yes, 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 but no. Actually, it's a sign of faith. And Pemberton, another guy who, Glenn Pemberton, who's done a great book on hurting with God, it's called, it said, it's not those who lack faith who lament, but those recognized for strong faith who bring their most honest and passionate feelings to God. So if you're scared of coming like, well, I don't know what God will think of me if I come honestly, he already knows your heart. He already knows you. He loves you. There's nothing more he can do to show you that. You are welcome before him because of what Jesus has done. So come as you are and be direct. The second thing is this, is be honest. I love David's beautiful, raw honesty. It's like, will you forget me forever? Who's ever said that? Have you ever said that to God? Hi, Lord. If you forget me again, why are you hiding your face from me? You know, day after day, why do I have to have sorrow in my heart? Why are my thoughts so anxious? You know, is that the kind of language and the things that you come to God with? Because that's what we're invited into. This is part of our story of what it means to walk in faith and faithfulness. We need to be honest with God. Because the reality is that some of us here tonight will be in debt, trapped in addiction. Maybe you've got relationship problems, maybe there's marriage problems, maybe struggling with work and purpose, maybe you're in a state of depression. It really does feel like a wasteland. And one thing I'll say is kind of a false title, nothing's ever wasted, but it can certainly feel like a wilderness. And maybe tonight you feel that place of wilderness. But when you come to church, what do? You are fully paid up members of the Christian Fine Brigade, where the people go, how are you? And you go, I'm fine. My whole marriage is falling apart. I'm fine. How are you doing? How's things? I'm fine. Although my cat just passed away 3 days ago, and I'm still really upset about that. Like, we just say we're fine. And what I do now is when people ask how I am, I go, I'm so grateful you asked. Come and sit down and I'll tell you. It's brilliant. Watch people's face. They're like, I was only going to get a coffee on the way back. Like, don't be a part of the Christian Fine Brigade. Rip up your membership. Throw it away. Come honestly. Come as you are. In your brokenness, in your mess, you are welcome here because we're family. And we're a family who are all broken in need of Jesus. So come. And it's Brueggemann Pemberton who says this. It's no wonder that the church has intuitively avoided these psalms. They lead us into a dangerous acknowledgement of how life really is. They lead us into the presence of God where everything is not polite and civil. They cause us to think unthinkable thoughts and utter unutterable words. I was saying, I've learned a lot of Greek in my pain management. It's called swearing. Sometimes I'm like, God, don't you care? Like, beep. I'm like, sorry, Lord. Beep. Like, but there's this sense of like, actually, it just shows us in the Psalms, is this language of honesty and rawness and just like not doing the pretense, just escaping from reality nonsense. God wants us to come as we are because he's compassionate enough to care and he's able enough to act. And so what I love about honesty is that it flows out of relationship. The more kind of familiar you are with someone, the more sort of you have that relationship, usually the more honest you're able to be. And so if you want to be more honest with God, just get closer to him. Just start that journey with him. Maybe it's for the first time tonight. You want to say, actually, God, would you walk with me in my brokenness? I want to know what it means to do life with you and not on my own, where it feels a scary place. And I want to say to you, I think there's something about, there's something about pretense and escapism, especially in this Instagram sort of filtered generation where we put on and portray our beautiful selves and our beautiful lives. And depression rates have increased since Instagram has been around. There's been studies around it. And actually, most people, it's just false. It's just fake. And you know what? It's so easy to kind of get sucked into that world and not be honest, to live a filtered life, as it were. And I'm going to say to you tonight, not so with you. Come on, let's live open, honest lives together. Let's do it together in that community of vulnerability. And that's hard. And I think, you know what? Part of it is that it's just culture around us today, is that it tells us we don't need any wastelands. There aren't any wastelands. You can be free to be whoever you want. You can do whatever you want. You can say whatever. I don't know why I'm singing. You just whatever you want, when you want, with whoever you want. That's freedom, you know. You can wear this and then all of a sudden you'd be amazing. And if you only if you had this watch or if you had this car, then you then this job, this relationship. Just the world says all these things. And me and my wife were laughing last night. I'm going to have to find it on here. This is a quote. I know I can take control of my life when I can take control of my hair. I'm like, for chuff's sake, is this really what we're competing with in reality? I feel like I've taken control of my hair tonight. I spent a lot of time trying to take control of my hair. My life still sucks at times, all right? Okay? Sorting your hair out is not the answer, okay? But it's this fantasy life we fall for. But actually, we're called to be honest and not just to hide away and not just to run after the things of this world. The third thing is this, verses 3 and 4, be specific. Look on me and answer me, Lord. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome and my foes will rejoice when I fall. I don't know if you noticed that we can't really, not got time to go into it, but if you look at verses 1 and 2 and then 3 and 4, there's like direct parallels of what David is asking, sort of his complaint, as it were, before God. And then his request, he's really specific. So for God to look at him because he feels God is absent, for God to answer him because he feels God is silent, and how long must he listen to himself? Who likes listening to the self? I don't like listening to myself when it's like the bad me who brings out, it's easy to beat myself up and tell me how rubbish I am and everyone else should be doing bloody, but rubbish. Like, he wants to hear from God. And for God to strengthen and deliver him so his enemies don't prevail and he sleeps in death. And so I want you to be specific in your prayer. How do you know if God has answered a prayer? If we just do the generic, Lord, we pray for world peace. Like, great, that's a great prayer. But like, how do we know that world peace has happened? I don't know. But I can certainly pray for that person's left eye, whatever it is. We love that. Anyone got a left eye? I'm in. Yeah, I've got a left eye. Oh, sorry, has anyone got a left eye that needs healing? Okay, great, okay. Love you, Lizzie. But in terms of those things, we can certainly then say, actually, if someone gets prayed for and healed, that's a, you know, it's a specific request and something that's happened, and we can say, thank you, God. And if you journal stuff down and write down what God is doing in your life or words that have been spoken over you, you can go back and say, do you know what, God, thank you so much. I've seen you do that. We can be specific in our prayers and not just general. And the last thing on the specific thing is this. I love this quote that I came across. It says this, make your problems God's problems. That's so cool, isn't it? Like, we've got a God who's big enough. He's like, while you were asleep last night, he held the entire cosmos together. I'm sure he can hold your hair and your life together tomorrow, okay? Make God's problems. I love it in rugby. It's called the hospital pass, where you set your mate up to fail and they get absolutely crunched. But God is not going to fail. He's not going to get crunched. Make your problems God's problems. It's because he cares. He wants to hear. So be specific in those things. And the final thing is this, for be defiant. And this is probably one of the most important aspects of it, actually. Let's read again from verse 5. But I will trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good for me. You know, for those of you who are in wastelands or wilderness, whatever you want to call it, in the brokenness, we need to get to the place of but. But I will still praise you. But I will trust in you. I will trust in your unfailing love. Here's the situation. I'm in this pain that's been diagnosed. It's not going to change. It's only going to get worse. But I choose to worship God because I want to declare his word over my life and what he says over it, not someone else. Does that sort of make sense? And I think it's really, really important that, again, that whole thing of the wasteland, maybe your current location is not your final destination. And for those of you who are doing great at the moment, I want to say praise God. Like, again, it doesn't have to then be, oh, crumbs, I'm doing all right. Like, let's make some brokenness stuff up so it feels like I'm part of the party, like my life's actually all right. No, no, you come as you are. If life is great, praise God. That's a wonderful season to be in. And I need you guys, when we worship and when we do community, to be the leaders. You need to be the ones going first. You need to be the ones singing strongest. You need to be the ones encouraging those like me around who are going, I'm in so much pain, and God, are you really the God who says, and when I hear the strength and I hear the church sing like I did tonight, it lifts your spirit, it lifts your eyes, it lifts my soul to go, yes, God, you are that one, and one day you are going to restore me. I'm not going to sit in the brokenness, in the mire. I'm not going to sit in my own little pit. I'm going to hear the church around me, and I'm going to stand with them, and thank you, God, for them, that I have this community who are willing to carry me through this. So those who are in a great place, come on, lead the way. Lead the way. And those of you in a dark place, you know what? Lead the way. Lead the way in honesty. Lead the way that when we say, do you want to come to the front and have some prayer? Actually, why are we not seeing people come to the front? Like, it's always, it's that moment where we go, and we're going to speak some words now, and if you'd like to come to the front for prayer for this, that would be great. And then we wait, and we wait, and everyone's going, oh, the preacher. I feel so sorry for the preacher. What if no one comes? No, they're not. No one cares. Do you know what? We want to be able to say, come as you are. It's not just because we want to do this emotionalism thing. It's not because we want the response to be at the front so the preacher looks great and feels valued and go home. I had 7 people come forward last night. That means I had a great preach and a great sermon and I will be on the rotor again. It's not that at all. But if we're really going to do this life of really going after and taking a cross and not just a coffee cup, then we need prayer and we need each other. And so don't ever be afraid of coming with your brokenness. No one will be judging you. They'll be cheering you on, saying, well done. Well done for taking the brave step of moving forward in those things. Last thing I'm going to say in this is that this, oh, it's on the screen. Feelings are great servants, but terrible masters. You may not feel like worshiping God. You may not feel like coming forward. You may not feel like saying yes to Jesus. Feelings I've learned from depression, I can feel one day, I can feel great, the next day I can feel worthless. Feelings are great servants, but terrible masters. Don't let feelings master you. You've got to take the step forward and let the feelings catch up. That's what I'm learning to do. Where even when I'm in serious amounts of pain, I want to go again. I say, God, I'm trusting you. I'm giving you my yes, and I trust that you're going to get me through today. Trust you are who you say you are. And so we're going to have communion soon. We're going to be able to come to the table of grace, table of invitation, of welcome. And maybe there's 2 responses, I think, for tonight. Same as this morning. I want to put the same challenge out there. Is that maybe you know you've been part of the Christian Fine Brigade for too long now. Maybe you've just, your membership's been automatically renewed like Amazon Prime and you've been screwed over for 79 quid again because you forgot to turn auto-renewal off like me last week. Maybe that's you. And I want to say, if that's you tonight, it's time to sit and face and stare at your brokenness, because there's no fear, because God is with you and he will meet you in the brokenness because he knows what it means to be broken himself. He's not aloof, this kind of like distant God who doesn't care. You will find him there in that brokenness, and he will journey with you and sustain you. I've experienced that firsthand. But for some of you, maybe you've been sat in the how long for too long, where actually you're refusing to do the but. My situation sucks, my circumstances suck, but. And you need to get to that place tonight, but I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to go again. I'm going to take that journey of saying yes to you and taking that risk, believing that you're going to be there, and he will be. So 2 challenges. Christian Fine Brigade, start to stare at some brokenness. Look what the Lord does. Look how you grow as a Christian. And for those of you who have just been like, well, what's the point? You're sitting in your brokenness. I'm saying it's time to get out of the pit and say, but I will trust. So should we pray? So Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for David, who penned this, who really teaches us the language of everyday life, the ups and the downs, when things are great, when things are horrendous, when we don't get it. And Lord, I don't always understand you, but I know the best place is to stand under you. And I love you and I trust you and I thank you for your church and the family that you've brought together here tonight and those listening wider, God. We thank you for one another, that we get to rejoice in each other's victories, but also stand in each other's brokenness and help each other in this journey. Father, we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. We don't want to be people who just have sold an empty gospel that's all about getting your parking space free and all that kind of nonsense. Lord, we want to be a people who carry our cross and run the race into the end. And we can only do that by your grace, by your spirit, and with one another. In Jesus' name, amen.